Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax. I am here again with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
And I want to say thank you again to Ryan Morgan, a carrier from Boise, Idaho. He is the person who came up with that banger of intro music. Dude, he did such a good job on it. So thank you again to Ryan Morgan out of Boise, Idaho for giving me this. I look forward to hearing that every single time. I absolutely love it.
Well, talk about thanking people. I also like to thank somebody who came here from Oklahoma.
Oh, dude!
Branch 458. Hell yeah. And bought us a Korean barbecue for dinner.
Yes, they did. Yeah. By the way, listen to the Branch 458 podcast. It's one of the ones that I subscribe to. It's essentially their branch newsletter by podcast. But there's really good stuff in there. It's interesting. You can learn something from it. And it is one that I subscribe to. And yeah, dude, they came to town. You know, Michael gives out his phone number on this podcast.
Which is 702-724-6355.
Right. And so what that means is that if you're coming to Las Vegas for vacation and you want to take us out to dinner, call Michael.
Well, that wasn't the purpose. No, but it was in case if anybody has any questions about contracts or how to fight management and so forth, or any other questions about our post office.
Right.
You know, I'm willing to answer any of those things as much best as I can. I don't know everything, but I can do it. What I could do.
Right, right, exactly. And so in this case, that number was misused by somebody saying, hey, we're coming out to Vegas and we'd love to take you out to dinner. And that's exactly
because they wanted to meet the people they hear us. So yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
And what's funny is at one point we had a miscommunication about where we were going to meet because this restaurant has more than one location. And so I wound up having to call that person. And when he answered and I said, hey, man, I'm over at this other place. He goes, oh, my God, you sound just like on the podcast. Well, I guess that stands to reason.
Yep.
And so and then when we were at the restaurant, like I'm a performing monkey, he made me say dude, which is fair. I do say dude a lot.
Yeah.
It's part of my California upbringing.
There you go.
And the 80s upbringing. Okay. So. Dude, good call on that. Yeah, it was fantastic having those guys come out. Great conversation. It was a real pleasure.
And I hope they had a great time in Vegas.
I hope so, too. Yeah. I know I asked them what kind of gambling they were doing, and one of them said, well, I'm pretty much out of money, so what does that tell you? So thank you for that contribution.
Well, yeah, that's how our city survives.
Yes, exactly. It was not built on winners.
No.
Yeah. But hey, if you come, surely you'll win. Yeah. All right. So anyway, will you win by meeting up with me and Michael?
Exactly.
Okay. The other thing that I need to get out of the way is a couple episodes ago, I talked about the new overtime rules, and I had mentioned it that Fred Woodley of Delivering Solidarity was working on an agreement to possibly have people be able to work the work assignment list and work their scheduled day off on the 8-hour on your day off list and be on both lists, and that he was going to try to get that in his national agreement or in his local agreement. I don't know if I said it wrong or if it just wasn't clear, but for clarification, the local negotiating period has not opened yet. So this is not an agreement. It's something that he believes, and I agree with him, that does not violate the national contract. And so you can make that agreement in your local.
My argument was on it saying that it's a work assignment. It's supposed to be working only your assignment, and your day of, it's not your assignment.
But you can make that same argument with the 8-hour list, that you're not supposed to work overtime at all, but you could be on that
list. I think that's why it's a good argument.
Day off list. Yeah, exactly. And so we'll see.
That's why you have the local MOU. It would be where...
If they're not going to solve it at national, we can solve it locally.
Exactly.
Dude, it bothers me to no end that Renfro negotiated this, hypothetically, negotiated it for almost 2 years and somehow didn't ferret this out.
Right.
Like, give me a freaking break, dude. It just goes to show you. You know, when he's locked up in that hotel room, they're just getting room service. What hard work. That's not why we're here.
Yeah, that's not why we're here. We're talking about something else.
No, we are here because I didn't go to our last union meeting.
I did.
Yeah, I went out.
And there were some issues.
There were. I went out on a date with my wife, and when you live in Las Vegas, I'm going to digress for a second, as if it's been all digression so far. There are all these shows that aren't the huge headliner shows, and so they wind up having empty seats. And it's a bad look for the theater to have a bunch of empty seats. especially because it doesn't really cost them anything to put more butts in the seats, and they got potential additional like bar revenue and then gaming revenue for getting you into the casino. Because that's part of the deal with having a show is we want you to bring people into the casino and then you'll gamble while you're there. And so locals will sign up for these seat filler services and you just get to go to free shows, which is really cool. My wife went and saw Menopause the Musical with her sister and absolutely loved it. If that subject matter is relevant, it's a comedy about getting older as a woman. And dude, I just found out that the star of that show is the wife of one of the carriers at my station.
No way.
So yeah, so that was really cool. Oh, so cool. I told him, like, dude, rave reviews. Right. Tell your wife that my wife loved it.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, highly recommend that. But then she got free tickets to go see Carrot Top. And she says, do you want to go out to Carrot Top with me? I said, well, not, I don't really want to see Carrot Top, but I do want to go on a date with you. So yeah.
Carrot Top is pretty funny though.
Dude, that guy, he's 61 years old. Or maybe he's 60, somewhere in that neighborhood. And that dude brought it. He had a ton of energy. And he, at the first 10 minutes, was just prop after prop after prop after prop. And it was a good show. There were some very good laughs in that show. And good jokes, you know. And a lot of it was dated. Like, he had this one joke where it was an improvement to a stripper's thong. And so he holds up this thong underwear. And attached to it is a credit card imprint machine, which is the one, if you're old enough like Michael and me, that goes like chunk chunk, and it makes like the carbon copies of the imprint of your credit card, which probably hasn't been used in 40 years. And so it's a little bit dated, and like, you could totally put a stripper thong with like a square card reader on it, but you know,
he's it, old school.
Yeah, so, and in fairness, like, I'm 50 in the audience. Yeah, I was one of the younger people in the audience. Yeah, so it got plenty of laughs, including from me. I knew right away what that thing was.
Yeah, you knew, yeah.
Yeah. So that was a fun show, too. Yeah, Carrot Top was fun. All right.
And it's the fun of being in Vegas.
Yeah, that it is. Yeah. So
that's the few perks being in a local.
It is. So while I was out doing that, Michael, what was going on down at the Union Hall?
Oh, we had a general meeting. And so the general meeting was actually going smooth this time. There was no arguments.
And there was no big turnout either, right? How many people would you guess were there?
Maybe 20 people.
Well, there's already 13.
Yeah, total of 33. No, even though 30, even though Ebor was, half of them were missing too.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I say a good 20, 25 people.
Okay. So very, yeah.
Yeah. A couple dozen people.
Yep. Total. Okay.
And so there weren't that many people.
Right.
Okay. So, it was going great, and he came down to officer's report.
Okay? Right, which is fairly late in our agenda. It's pretty much the last thing.
Yeah, aside it's halfway through.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because he was down to, because, you know, the first officer is the president.
Right.
The next one's the EVP.
Once it gets to the other officers, though, right, their reports tend to be fairly short.
Right.
We're getting near the end of the meeting, generally. Yeah.
So you get to the secretary.
Yeah.
Okay, which is the fourth person.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I want to bring up the punishment on Alan Gigax and Michael Brazmley. I go, whoa.
As part of the secretary's report.
Yeah, part of secretary's report.
Sure, that's where I'd put it punishment on the agenda.
Okay.
Dude.
That's supposed to be the beginning of the agenda.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
And it should be listed.
It's supposed to be in the minutes.
Yeah, it should be listed on the agenda.
On the agenda
for the this is one of the ways.
It was not.
In the near future, I've been working on a 10 sheet for this. I'm going to have an episode about the ways that people who are in power abuse that power.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that it's done at my branch, and probably at your branch too, is the agenda for the meeting is not published. And so you don't know what's on the agenda until you show up at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had no idea that this was coming.
Nobody knew this was coming.
And certainly you don't expect it during the secretary's officer report.
Yeah, which is, that's not a report.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I go, what punishment are you talking about? Well, you know, the defamation from, that you guys are charged with. I go, yeah, we pulled the motion that it has to be done by national.
Right.
So what are you talking about? Well, our national business agent told us that we need to issue this punishment at our local branch. And I go, oh, really? That's funny, because there's no way that our national business agent would just tell you that and not tell us who's being punished.
Okay? Right. Yeah, it seems relevant
that
to us.
That seems like something that we would need to know before they make that decision.
Right. You guys may remember from the last episode, like when our appeal went up, copies of that decision were sent to everyone who was involved in that decision.
Yes. Yeah. Including Brian Renfro.
Yeah.
Told Keisha Lewis to take over all the investigations.
Right.
Okay. And so I already knew that, hey, we already made a motion that it was sent to the higher level. He goes, no, our national business agent told us to settle on the punishment today. And I go, oh, really? I'd like to see that letter from our national business agent that tells that us that you guys can do this. Oh, no, we don't have a letter. What do you mean you don't have a letter? Well, we were told verbally. Oh, really?
How convenient.
How convenient that it was verbal. Okay. And then I go, and they're like, well, we also got a letter from Brian Renfro. Oh, really? What letter is that? Well, I have the letter that we're talking about.
All right.
So I want to read this to you guys. And what you guys see, I'll tell you what my opinion about this letter. Okay.
Yeah, go for it. You want me to read it and you comment or you read it?
I can do it this time. Okay, yeah, go for it. A lot of times you read it. So it's my turn.
Go for it.
Says, Dear Brother B. You know, I know he likes to call redacted. I like to call it B. Sounds better. Short and simple.
Wait. Oh, the person who they're sending it to. Yeah. I got you. Okay. Yep.
This is a reply to your recent letter, which you emailed on February 21st, 2025, concerning the procedure for imposing penalties following Branch 25, 2025's vote.
Close enough.
To charges brought against brothers Alan Gigax and Michael Brazemley. According to your letter, the branch adopted a motion to refer the penalty issue to an outside of the committee.
Right.
Okay. You now request that I appoint a committee composed of members from outside of Branch 2502 to determine the appropriate punishment following the branch's vote to sustain the charges. Okay. I must advise that it would be entirely inappropriate for me to intervene in this matter. Okay. Article 10, Section 3 of the Constitution for the Government of a Subordinate and Federal Branches states that if the branch decides that the fact sustained the charge, then the branch shall entertain a motion to fix the penalty, if any be required. Potential penalties and the rules for imposing them by vote are set forth in Article 10, Section 4. Normally, such a vote should be conducted immediately after the vote on the charge. Thus, it is the response of the branch in the first instance to resolve any dispute regarding the question of the penalty. The branch's determination, of course, will be subject to the appeal. But in a letter sent to Brother Gigax.
Right. So in the first instance, right? Mm-hmm. So normally it would be up to the branch.
Right.
But then he goes on.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So he goes, in a letter sent to Brother Gigax dated February 4, 2025, I directed our national business agent.
You could say who it is.
Or her designee deal. To investigate the various charges that are pending at Branch 2502 in order to ensure that they are processed in full compliance with Article 10. Okay.
Right. And that was the issue, was we got fucking railroaded.
Yeah.
It had no resemblance to Article 10.
So they decided to proceed with the charge against us on February 5th.
Right.
And this letter was dated. This was February 4th.
Okay? Exactly.
And this was sent to our president,
our local secretary. President. Yep.
They all knew this letter. Okay?
Absolutely.
And they made an excuse saying, oh, no. That's not what our Brian Renfro says.
Oh, it doesn't apply. Okay?
So Brian goes, well, I specifically, that sounds like I told you to do it this way. Authorized Sister NBA for her designated to provide whatever assistance the branch may require. Accordingly, I am referring you to the letter to her as well as whatever action she seems appropriate. Okay.
Right. And wasn't it something in there that said like to make sure that Article, oh yeah, you already said that.
Yeah.
To make sure that Article 10 is followed.
Right. So,
which it wasn't.
Well, so basically what he's saying is, it sounds like he didn't like that somebody was overruling his decision.
Of course. Okay. Because that was the meat of the follow-up letter that I had to write to Renfro. It was like, dude, you made a decision and it's being openly, they're going against it, like openly defied. It's being openly defied.
And so basically it sounds like to me, our brother Renfro is angry that our president, branch president, and the secretary is not following his instruction.
And that was the whole reason that he got involved in the first place. Mm-hmm. It's because we have these Article 10 procedures. We have these Article 11 procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the branch is supposed to police itself. So, and in our branch, those processes are broken.
And so our NBA NBA, National Business Agent,
yep,
got an instruction from Brian Renfro to take over all investigations, okay?
Right.
And she got the investigators to come to our city to do the investigations, okay? And then for punishment, they said, oh, because we want to stay neutral, we're not going to make any type of judgment or any type of ruling. We're going to just refer to the National Committee of Appeals.
Right. And I still have my appeal sitting at the National Committee. Yeah.
And I don't know if they said that they're going to send it to National Committee of Appeals or not, that whole thing that they found. I have no idea, but we do have a copy of that. But either way, that was a decision by our national business to use the investigator. The investigators gave that authority to the National Committee of Appeals. So our president and our secretary is saying, no, our national business says that we're going to do this. They are lying so bad and trying to do this, okay? Which I brought up. I said, that is BS.
Right.
And I said, there was a motion that was already filed, so therefore you cannot file another motion.
Right. And so what does the president respond with? Well, we're going to do it anyway.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not the president. Secretary. Or
the secretary. Of course.
Our good old boy.
Yeah, because he has the authority.
Well, you know, we're going to vote on it anyway, and you can file an appeal later.
Exactly. That's straight out of their playbook. Okay,
because what they wanted is that he thought that he brought enough people to vote so that we can be punished to be kicked out of the union.
Right.
Okay. But actually, I think there was not enough people to vote. Either way, it might have been 50-50.
It might have been. Yeah.
So, but either way, it doesn't matter. Our treasurer,
the former election chair.
Okay. Yep. He decided to come up and say, "Hey, I want to talk." And of course, they said, "Oh, of course, he can talk. Right.
Yeah.
No problem." He came up and he withdrew our charges.
Look at that.
Okay. And there's many ways that I can think of why he withdrew the charges.
Yeah. I've been hypothesizing about that ever since it happened.
Well, first of all, I can tell you this right now. Me and Alan was already preparing to sue our branch.
Right. Because we're this is a specifically protected right.
Right.
Okay? Yeah.
We know that they're breaking the law.
Yep.
It actually says, because of freedom of speech, and if the branch or the union decides to break the law, we have the right to sue the branch.
Yeah, exactly.
It literally says that by Department of Labor.
And the officials at the LMRA.
LMRDA.
Or, whatever that group is, right.
Mm-hmm.
They told us, that this is, protected in federal civil court.
I talked to the person at the Department of Labor and says, if they do this, you need to sue them.
Yeah, yeah.
They literally told us to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, my appeal that went, because I appealed our conviction to the Committee on Appeals, the Nationals Committee, the same ones who ruled in our favor in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things I told him is like, look, this can be decided in the courts, but seems like a lot better to just, like, what's the point of having this NALC policy if we're not going to abide by it?
Right.
Yeah, because the policy's clear.
And here's the thing. We don't want to sue our branch.
No.
Okay? We don't want to take any money away from our branch. But here's the thing. If they're going to keep breaking these rules, I don't want them to get away with it either.
Yeah, we're not just going to roll over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the reason why we're stewards before, okay?
Yeah.
It's because we want to fight the fight.
Right.
To make sure that things are done correctly and follow the rules.
That is exactly right.
And this is exactly our good old boys are not following.
Okay? You nailed it.
And that's why I did the fight. And I fought. While we were there, and I was asking a lot of questions, I'm sure they were getting very annoyed.
Credit to you for, just going it alone and being up there on the hill swinging that sword.
Yeah, a lot of our allies was not there on that day.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I know that there's a couple of people that showed up that was my allies, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But majority of the ones that actually support us, none of them were there, including you, Alan.
Yeah, including me. Including me.
Jonathan wasn't there either.
Yeah.
Okay. So I felt like I was fighting myself. But hey, if I don't know how to fight by myself, then there's a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, another item of business that came up is, as we record this, they have just finished the Committee of Presidents meeting in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And am I right in saying that the branch voted to send our president to the Committee of Presidents meeting and to pay his way?
Did that happen at that meeting? I don't think so.
Huh. I don't remember. Well, I know it didn't happen in the meeting before. That.
Okay.
So we'll have to figure out how that was paid for.
Right.
Because I don't imagine that he could get himself there. It's driving distance from Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have to find out how that was paid for. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because if it was paid out of branch funds.
But here's the thing is, I was looking at some pictures of the branch of presidents.
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
I didn't see. Well, I only saw the CLC pictures.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him in those.
Yeah.
And I get, look, he's a CLC supporter, just like us. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on the list of endorsers.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like I am.
It's funny how.
But yeah, you got to wonder Corey Wong about talks about ethic.
Remoras, and he's a big remora.
Yeah, I don't think that he's there because he agrees with the ethics of the CLC. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the way he behaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Regardless, you know, it's good to have another vote for the CLC. Mm-hmm. We stand together in that, just as we stood together at the Hell No or Fight Like Hell
which
rally.
I was so sick. I would have been there.
Yeah, sick of being solidarity.
Well, I was literally in bed for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it happens. So anyway, dude, chalk another one up for us, right? This sword of Damocles that has been hanging over us has now been set aside, and we no longer have to worry about that discipline potentially being kicked out of the union, potentially having another fight, potentially a lawsuit. So all that stuff is now off.
Everything is all fresh again.
Everything is fresh. Okay? Yep.
Because everybody's charges are gone. Be done yep,
there
over
no,
with.
No outstanding charges.
No outstanding charges left. And
nothing left up at the Committee on Appeals. I don't know.
Which I don't know about what's going on with ours, because it was over there and they haven't said anything.
Yeah.
If they withdrew it or not.
Did
even
the
though
the
charges were dropped.
Right. Did the branch send a notice to the Committee on Appeals?
I don't know.
Letting them know that it's dropped? I don't know mm-hmm. either.
Yeah.
I'd be very, especially now that there's no pressure behind it, mm-hmm. I'd be very interested to know how the Committee on Appeals rules mm-hmm. on this issue. Because the policy speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. It says defamation because we talked about our officers during the podcast.
Yeah.
That we're talking about right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right. So and then every postal podcast talks about mm-hmm. officers. They talk about Renfro. They talk about, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the postal podcasts are, you know, that democratization is that so that we
it
have
literally
voices.
Says that we can talk about officers.
Yeah. And dude, another
and
thing.
And they cannot talk about us.
Right. Well, and the Department of Labor, right. They have, mm-hmm. it's a difference between member speech and officer speech. Mm-hmm. But they also have restrictions like, one of the things the Department of Labor comes down on really hard is also freedom of speech within the union hall,
mm-hmm.
at the union meetings. Yeah. And that's like damn near absolute.
So.
And that was another part of their charges.
Here's another thing too, is union is created because of freedom of speech and assembly.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. That our
right.
offices were trying to stop us from.
Dude, and
how
it was so funny in their branch. Oh, by the way, guys. Uh-huh. So we already talked about the president's branch reply to the election appeals and how it was a total sham and he didn't support the branch's position at all. And the secretary, the goodest oldest boy, is like, well, yeah, of course he doesn't support. You know, it's just a laying out of facts and there's no position taken at all. Well, in the branch reply to our appeal over, dude, he very much took a position, very much argued a position. And isn't it no surprise at all that they totally change sides depending on what the issue is? You know, that no integrity.
So here's another thing, too, is that our good old boy was trying to put through because of saying they were verbal, which is a lie.
Right.
And trying to punish us. And I don't even know how I would have reacted if they found us guilty at that moment.
Well, we would have still been waiting on the decision from the National Committee on Appeals, you know, regarding our conviction.
Right. But then they're going to say, well, the branch goes before the committee.
Yeah, well, we appealed the branch's decision
right.
on the conviction. Right. I wasn't trying to get the punishment overturned. I was trying to get the conviction overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you know, again, they got nipped in the bud. Thank goodness for that. Whatever.
But this is the power of their abusing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Saying
deciding
that,
when and where.
Because you can file an appeal later. No. Mm-hmm. There should be a strict policy that these people need to follow the freaking rules and not do this to other members.
There should be.
There should be some kind of punishment.
Well, there is recourse for that. Mm-hmm. And that recourse is Article 10 mm-hmm. and bringing up charges.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought up those charges and we were just a hair's breadth from getting convictions on those charges mm-hmm. in spite of the retirees.
Well, that's because some people didn't vote also.
Yeah,
and I request for a secret ballot. Okay.
Dude, now, yet see, another abuse of authority.
That's another abuse of authority because they said it doesn't exist. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Robert's Rule Order says that you can do a secret ballot as long as the membership votes to have a secret ballot.
Right. The Constitution about says how the meetings are run, and it says, except as otherwise specified, they're run in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order revised.
Right. But and the way they said it in that meeting is that, oh, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Like not following Robert's Rules of Order. So all of a sudden, the rule is we don't follow Robert's Rules of Order.
When it's convenient.
When it's convenient for them.
Yep, okay? Exactly.
And that's the abuse of power again.
And that had already come up the last time our president was brought up on charges, and we did a secret ballot.
Yes. So, there is, it's the complete abuse of power.
That's
and,
it.
And the membership, you know, that's where we look at it and go, why are we keep, voting for or paying the union dues when we're getting railroaded and things like that? And the main thing is it's not just our local branch, it's national too, where we got to vote. Vote for our national president, because if we get a good national president, then they'll make the decision to make sure that all the other local branches hopefully be run correctly and make some changes.
Right, that's what leadership is about. And we have very little leadership right now.
Right now, the last two or three presidents we've had has not done anything to make our union better. That just seems like it's just gotten worse and worse with every new president.
You've been paying attention a lot longer than I have. Yeah. You know, I can only speak to the Renfro era, and I'm not stoked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you got to stay in the union because we need you to vote for the CLC, to vote for James Henry, to vote for Kametra Lewis, to vote for Corey Walton, and to vote for David Grosskopf as trustee and whoever else they wind up putting forward.
So there's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot
more
of work
ahead of us,
yeah.
Campaigning, but at least this is less now that we have to worry about, able to take a breath.
Yeah. All right. Well.
All right.
Lots of work.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be things will change.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Right. We're gonna keep working on it. Yep. We know we have the support of the carriers, the active letter carriers, and we take a lot of comfort in that.
As long as these retirees don't.
Well, dude, there's way more active carriers. We need them to turn out
because most of our active carriers work overtime.
Yeah, I know. I mean, not just turn out at the meetings, but it's a much bigger task for them than it is for a retiree who's not busy, obviously. Right. And that's another abuse of power. But also to turn out for the vote. You know, when it's time to vote again, we need them to vote. And you have to be a member of the union to do that.
And then here's the thing, too, is when in the middle of the election, they somehow have a retiree dinner. But we're not invited to.
Isn't that something?
Somehow they have a retiree dinner right during the middle of election.
Yeah.
Always.
That's why I was not aware of that. And
it happened in the last election that we were doing. Dude. And they had a retiree dinner.
You know, we'll surely see it's a coincidence.
We'll see if this will happen in middle of June or July. We'll see if that happens.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, we got one in for CCA dinner in June.
Oh, there you go.
Are we invited?
Oh, yeah. Can we go? That's a good question. Probably not.
No, because we actually did talk with us that other carriers can show up.
Okay. Well, that's something. So, all right. Dude, I would love to show up to that. Yeah. One more thing. Mm-hmm. It's a little off topic, but I've just got to get it off my chest. We have our state association convention coming up for the Nevada State Association of Letter Carriers in May. It's being held here in Las Vegas. And one of the agenda items is a dinner. And this dinner, what is the cost per person for this dinner?
Like $118 a person?
Yeah. Guys, this really bothers me. This feels like self-dealing. Who decided how much money we're going to spend on this dinner? How does any of that get done?
Our branch is not paying for our state.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But that's still our union dues. That's mine and your union dues. And the rest of these people paying so that we can have a $118 dinner for what?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
That's how much our casinos downtown charges.
Yeah, dude, so don't go there. And well, we're going to the Horseshoe, which is on the Strip. But regardless, dude, that's way out of control. I mean, walk down to Bahama Breeze and spend $40 per person and have a good dinner. No, dude, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's self-dealing. It's not a good use of our union dues. And to me, that's just being indulgent. I'm against it. All right, that's all. Hey, you can go if you want. I don't like it.
Well, I think we should all go, including you.
I'm sure. Because, but then we're going to cost our branch or our state association so much money.
I know, but that's also what you get to meet the people who's running for state president.
Maybe I go and just
vice president, not order anything. And yeah. So forth. So you get to meet them at that dinner.
Dude, I'd like to go just at some point just to get my hands on the state bylaws because mm-hmm. those are nowhere.
Oh, that's funny. Just like local?
We don't yeah, exactly. Okay. Just like our local bylaws. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, dude. You ready okay. to wrap it up?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And hopefully with this behind us, at least for a little while, we'll get back to some educational content. And
of course, we'll let you guys know more of how things happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely as things go on. All right. So with that done, thank you, Michael, for coming by. And thank you guys for listening. We will catch you next time.